Let's get to the Word. Who's excited to get in the Word? Wow, I love that. Let's turn to Romans 12:1. Good old Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Say, mercies of God. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Everybody has heard this verse probably once or twice, right? And if you lived, you know, in church and stuff. I appeal to you, brothers. I encourage you. I want this for you, he's saying. By the mercies of God. What does, you know, sometimes we read through this and we're like, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, but we forget the by the mercies of God. Like, oh, that's just, you know, mercy of God. Mercy of God upon you. Mercy of God. And we don't understand what the mercies of God mean. He's not just telling you, hey, make your body a sacrifice for me. Just do it. Like, you can't just do it. You need to do it by the mercy of God. You're able to do it by the mercy of God. What is the mercies of God? Our God is merciful, amen? Is that not so? Our God is merciful. What is mercy? You can holla. Or is that grace? What is mercy? Oh, stumped the teacher, huh? Stumped the teacher? Are you guys stumped? Don't shake your head at me. By the mercies of God. It goes hand in hand. There you go. So, Jesus dying for us while we were still sinners, what is that? That's a whole lot of mercy. I'll tell you that. Because while we were sinners, guess what? We deserved death and hell. While we were sinners. We're not sinners anymore. Ooh, that might cut some ears. We're not sinners anymore. If you have been bought by Christ's blood, guess what? The old has passed. Behold, you are a new creation. What does that mean? Can a new creation be a sinner? It's like, I'm going to make a new creation, but you're still a sinner. No, by the work of God, you are now a saint. You are a forgiven sinner. That's correct. But guess what? You are no longer a sinner. Sinners need, and this is the thing. We oftentimes, we're like, I'm still sinning. I'm guess a sinner. Guess what? That's your old self. And Paul says, put off your old self and regard yourself dead to sin. You're dead to sin. Just imagine, Julian's a dead body. No, for real. I'm not joking. Julian's dead. And guess what? This girl comes by him to seduce him. Is Julian going to do nothing? Is Julian able to sin at that point? Like, this is practical, guys. Is he able to sin? No! He's dead! He could care less about some woman with, whatever she's doing. He's dead to sin. And that's what the Bible teaches us. Paul says, regard yourselves dead to what? Sin. You're dead to sin. You're a new creation. Yes, we were sinners at one point which needed grace, and we still need grace. But God has made us into a new creation, and now we are set apart and considered sons of God, no longer slaves of unrighteousness, but slaves of righteousness. Amen? Romans 12:1. By the mercies of God, our God is merciful that while we were still sinners, he died for us. And as he offered himself as a sacrifice, now guess what? Since he offered himself as a sacrifice, we are able by grace to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to him. Does that make sense? It's not just like, Jesus, thank you, you sacrificed. You paid my debt. You gave yourself as a sacrifice. I'm good. I got my ticket to heaven. See ya. Or is it like that? We have been bought with a price. Do you know that? No? Someone know that? You've been bought with a price? Not silver or gold. He didn't buy Julian. We'll use Julian as the object of illustration. He didn't buy Julian with 100 pounds of gold. Too cheap, man. That's way too cheap, right? He didn't buy Julian with 1,000 pounds of gold. What was Julian bought with? The blood of Jesus. You were bought with God's blood, God's own blood.
That's crazy, man.
And through that, we have been justified, right? Through his blood, we have been justified. You were guilty of sin, and the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Romans 1:16, right? No, Romans 3:23. I mixed those up. 1:16 is I'm not ashamed of the gospel. 6:23, okay. So we have been brought into right standing with God. And now, by those mercies, by God giving us his son, justifying us, this is what God, that Paul is asking us to do, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? Well, first of all, it's living, it's not dead. It's not one time, God, I'm going to put myself, man, do we have an altar? I'm not even going to try. I'm going to put myself on the altar. That's it. It says, no, but it says living sacrifice, which means a constant sacrifice. As long as you're breathing, you're a sacrifice. Are you breathing? Are you breathing? You guys can say yes. Let's be active. Yes, you are breathing. Are you alive? Yes, so guess what you're supposed to be? A sacrifice. Okay, come on. A sacrifice. As long as you live, you're to be a living sacrifice. Who wants the fire of God? Like, honestly, do you want the fire of God? If you don't, you know, pray that God will give you. Because once you experience the fire of God, you don't want anything else. Fire like the fire of God. Burning inside of you, a passion, a zeal for him. The fire of God that is able to burn up everything that is not of you. The fire of God that is able to be the light in this world. The fire of God that is able to mark you for the rest of your life. Who wants that fire of God? The fire of God that falls on the sacrifice. The fire of God falls always on sacrifice. To be consumed by the fire of God is to be a sacrifice for him. He wants us to sacrifice our bodies to him. Fire falls on sacrifice. This is your spiritual worship, to present your body as a sacrifice for God to use. Amen? It says, this is your spiritual worship. So we are called to a lifestyle of worship. Who knows that verse? Whether you eat or drink, do it what? Unto the Lord, right? Romans 6:13, it talks about you are no longer an instrument of sin, but an instrument of righteousness. See, when you sacrifice, it brings a pleasing aroma to God. When they sacrificed in the Old Testament, it would produce a pleasing aroma to God. When we provide ourselves as a sacrifice, it is pleasing to God. And says in Romans 6 that you're no longer an instrument of sin, but an instrument of righteousness. What does that mean? Righteousness now plays you like a guitar. No longer does sin play you like a guitar. This came alive to me when I realized whoever's playing an instrument will determine how the instrument sounds like, right? If you have someone who's playing a certain way, it sounds like a certain way. The master of the instrument determines how it will be played. Amen? The same as us. Who is your master? Who is you as an instrument? Who is the player of your life? The righteousness of God is given to us through who? Christ. So it's now that the righteousness given to us is the righteousness that we live out. Amen? So now your body is used to reveal the Son and His righteousness. So now the melody played in your life is unto Him, is for Him, is through Him, and from Him. So everything that you do in your life, the sound reveals the Son. Next, it says, bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let's talk about the holy part. What is a holy sacrifice? A holy sacrifice is that you're set apart for Him. That look, this is the function of this one thing, and this is the function. Your purpose is only for God now. It's not for sin any longer. That's what it means to be set apart for Him. To be holy as you're not given to other things, you're given to Him. You are set apart for His work. Set apart from the world. Verse 2, it says already, not to be conformed to the world and its patterns. Like you're not like the world, you're like God now. You're holy as He is holy. He says, be holy as I am holy. All it means is to be set apart for Him. You're not like the world anymore. We are called to be, we are predestined to be conformed to the Son. Your destiny is to be conformed to the Son. You are destined to be like Jesus. Can I get an amen? So if I don't look like Jesus, what's happening? A process. But if I'm conforming to the world, guess what I'm looking like? Do you guys know what... Anybody played with Play-Doh before? I love Play-Doh. If you play with Play-Doh, what do you do? You mold it. Does the Play-Doh just mold itself? You just stare at it and you're like... No, it doesn't work like that. What does it mean? Whoever hands you are is how you're going to be formed. It will determine how you are formed. What does this mean? So you're either in the world's hands and it forms you into some, I don't know, whatever you want it to imagine the world forms you into. Or you're in God's hands because you've surrendered to Him and He's forming you into that. So a holy sacrifice, that means a sacrifice unto Him. What is the next thing? Acceptable sacrifice. If it's acceptable, does this mean there's sacrifices that are not acceptable? I want to give an acceptable sacrifice. How about the two brothers, Cain and Abel? Ooh. You know those two brothers, Cain, who killed his brother Abel? Abel brought a sacrifice to God, and guess what? It was acceptable, and God accepted it. Cain brought a sacrifice to God, and what? Wasn't accepted. Why wasn't it accepted? Some people think it was because he brought some fruit and vegetables to Him. They actually had, in the Old Testament, sacrifices of wheat and stuff. What was the reason God didn't accept Cain's offering? May I suggest something? What does it mean to give something first versus your leftovers? I can give you the first of my stuff or the leftovers of my stuff. To give your first can require faith. If you think about it, if you have a, you know, you produce a bunch of crops and you're supposed to give the first, that's going to take a little faith because you're betting on that you're going to get provided for the rest, right? If you give the first of your crops. If you give the first of your animals, they would take the first lamb that was birthed and give it to God. What do you bet? You're giving God, I honor you with this, and I know you're going to give me more. You're giving the first. And I catch myself, this means the first of your everything, guys. The first of your time, that's hard for me sometimes. Oftentimes we give leftovers of our time to God, not the first. We're like, God, I don't have time for this. Wherein it should be like, I have this time, but I don't have time for that other thing. Does that make sense? So God, an acceptable sacrifice. He doesn't want your leftovers. He wants all of you and the first of you. Amen? He doesn't want your leftovers. And to give your first can require faith. Oftentimes it does. You present your body with faith that he will use you to preach, to love, to heal, to do the works of God. Amen? It is impossible to please God without faith. So what does this look like? If I'm giving my body as a living sacrifice, what does this look like? I'm giving myself for God to use me however he wants, to do whatever he wants with me. That's what a sacrifice. Once you sacrifice, guess what? You have no control over yourself anymore. Or rather, I would say no right over yourself anymore. Once you sacrifice, so that's not you. That's in God's hands. You're God. God, do whatever you want, and he will do whatever he wants. Question is, are you going to take those steps of faith to present yourself as a living sacrifice? Like he'll tell you, hey, I want you to preach the gospel to this person. Make yourself a living sacrifice right now. You are a living sacrifice. Hey, I want you to pray for this person. Hey, I want you to love this person. Hey, I want you to lay hands on this person. That's what a living sacrifice is a sacrifice that God can use for whatever he wants. And the fire of God will fall upon that sacrifice. Because it's worship to him. When we minister to others, we're worshiping him still. Everything should be done unto the Lord. Amen? So it will take faith to present yourself as a sacrifice. That's acceptable. A sacrifice with faith is an acceptable sacrifice. Do you think a sacrifice without faith is acceptable? That is not a sacrifice that pleases God. Why? It says in the Bible that it is impossible to please God without faith. That includes your sacrifice. That includes you giving. Like, when I show up, when I give God my time, I have faith that he wants my time and he's going to use my time with him. Right? I don't just come in like, whatever. I'm just going to sit here. Okay, see ya. Bye. Like, I want to go into a place where I said, God, I'm going to worship you and this is for you. And in faith that I am communion with him. Amen? Okay, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Conformity to the world is when we don't shape the world, but it shapes us. That's conformity to the world. When you don't shape the world, but the world shapes you. What does this look like? Through Instagram. Oh, no, don't talk about that one. Through Snapchat, through your friends. Guess what? If you're not shaping your friends, your friends are shaping you. And they're not good potters. Only God is a good potter. They'll make you a mess. They'll make you with a jar with a hole on the side. And you'll look like an ugly jar. Sorry, that's just how it is. If you let other things form you except God, it ain't going to look pretty. That's why you're going to look like dysfunction. You're going to look like, why are there so many ugly parts in my life? But God wants to take those ugly parts and make them beautiful. Amen? The way we think. Do you think like Christ thinks, or do you think like the world? The way we present ourselves. This is pretty big. The way we act. The way we talk. See, if we act and talk and think according to the flesh, it says the carnal mind is hostile to God. It opposes God. A fleshly mind opposes God. See, I don't know, like, you know how people are like, oh, this is kind of a gray area in my life. This is kind of like, you know, like God actually draws a line in our lives. He draws a distinct line. He's like, I don't like this, I like that. I don't like this, I like that. He says that. This is good, this is not good. This is bad. You know, if you want, only on Tuesdays you can do. Like, he's not like that. God knows what he wants and what he likes and dislikes. Amen? So if we do this little, like, trying to do the splits in between, I'm going to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Like, I don't know if he likes that, honestly. Actually, I know he doesn't like that. I don't know. I'm just trying to share what I feel like I have. It says, do not be conformed with the world, but instead be transformed. What is transformation? You change from one thing to another thing. That's transformation. By what? The renewal of your mind. What is the renewal of your mind? Why does your mind have to get renewed? Can we be honest right now? Your mind has to get renewed every day. Why? Guess what? You can get contaminated. Have you ever tried to keep clean, but you get dirty on accident? Like you're walking and you're like, oh, I have these white pants or this white shirt. I really want to stay clean. And you accidentally get something on it. Never? Well, you're perfect, so we won't talk to you. No, I'm just joking. You guys get what I'm saying though, right? Like you accidentally get dirty. Oh, my new shoes, I accidentally got. You don't get your shoes dirty on purpose, right? This happens sometimes. We're watching a YouTube video. Let's get real here. We're watching a YouTube video and it's like, what the is this? And you're like, oh shoot, I didn't want to hear that. It was an accident. Or you're scrolling through and you accidentally see an inappropriate picture. Johnny, that never, yeah, it happens. Guess what? In that moment, you're accidentally, you didn't look for it, but accidentally, your mind got contaminated. You look at it and you're, oh, shoot, I want to unsee that. I want to unsee that. Or like, oh, man, this is so embarrassing. Sometimes you're like, I've had this happen. I'm going to the bathroom. I don't get why people don't lock doors. Like, that's just a given, man. And I open the door and I just see, it's just so embarrassing, man. You open the door, you're like, oh, no, I wish I could have unseen that. You just see, oh, man. But what am I talking about? Like, accidentally, sometimes we get contaminated. Sometimes we're around friends and they start saying stuff that tries to contaminate our mind, right? They do stuff, they show stuff. Yes? No? Yeah. What do we have for this? How can we get clean right away? Because you can get clean right away. Did you know that? As soon as that accidental thing happened, you're like, oh, I wish I could unsee that. You can actually get clean right away. God gave us such an awesome thing, I'm telling you. How do you get your mind renewed? How do you renew your mind? How do you renew some books? How do you renew a book? You scan it again, right? You take your library card and you scan it again. You check it in again, right? How do you renew your mind? You continue to check in with the Word of God. You check in with the Word of God. That thing happened. I'm like, oh, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure. You start thinking about the Word of God. You start, Jesus, you're good. Your blood is so clean and precious. Like literally, meditation on the Word will renew your mind and cleanse your mind again. That's so practical. As soon as that little thing happens, you're like, you focus on God and you focus on His Word. And guess what? Your mind gets renewed. And that's how you get transformed. Things don't start to shape you. You start to shape other things. Does that make sense? I'm just trying to make this practical, guys. So we are transformed. And guess what? Jesus thinks how the Word thinks because Jesus is the Word. And we are to think like the Son. We have the mind of Christ, Paul says. You now have the mind of Christ. We are to think like that. And that only comes through the Word of God. If you don't think like Jesus, you need to read the Word of God more. Like that's literally what it is meditation. It refreshes. The Word of God refreshes. It renews. It washes us. It washes us, literally. There is so much the world wants to contaminate us with, and we can get dirty on accident, but we have something that can wash us. Meditating on the Word, knowing the Word, dwelling on the Word, repeating the Word. Amen. That you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God is. See, when you present yourself as a living sacrifice with a renewed mind, the will of God is revealed through you. Is that not so? When you catch this, when you're a living, you present yourself as a living sacrifice with a renewed mind, transformed by a renewed mind, you prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. What does this mean? The evidence of God's will is in your life because of those things. Huh? Sanctification. Right? The will of God, you as a living sacrifice are proved, like this is the will of God in your life. It is evidence. Your sanctification is evidence of your salvation. I love that. You become the evidence of God's will. You are able to know what His will is because you have read it in His Word. It says, so that you may discern, in some versions, that you may discern what is the will of God. So as you present yourself to God with a renewed mind, you discover the will of God for your life. And you're able to tell, this is from God, this is not from God. Amen? Can I have a keyboard? We're almost done. A renewed mind shows what God thinks about this situation, right? If you have a situation in your life, you're like, man, I have this friend, or I have this issue, or I have this parent, or I have whatever. You're able to discern what the will of God is through a renewed mind because you think like the Word of God. And the Word of God defines your situation, not your situation defines whatever. Okay, so I'll wrap this up. A renewed mind shows what God thinks about this situation or whatever circumstance or your problem. It shows who He is in that circumstance. He's like, God, this is, it says, I am this in your circumstance. I am a provider in your need. I am a restorer in your trouble. I'm a helper in your trouble. So He reveals Himself in our circumstances through a renewed mind because we understand who He is based off who He says He is. Amen? So transformation leads to proof. If you're transformed, you don't have to justify yourself. Look, I'm transformed. Guess what? Transformation, the proof is already there. The proof is in the pudding, like literally. Huh? The proof is in the pudding. You taste it, you see it. Like, it's not something that it's shouting out, I'm proving myself. No, you taste it and you see it. See, when I go to the gym and it's regularly and I'm getting transformed at the gym, like, I don't have to be like, dude, check me out. Like, I have proof right here. No, like, the proof is already seen. And it's the same thing when we renew our mind and are transformed by the renewal of our mind. Amen? So as a living sacrifice, as a vessel used for God, God is looking for surrendered people, fully surrendered people who say, Lord, I will live in the reality that you set me apart for yourself. He is looking for people who will yield, that his glory may be revealed through you. What does yield mean? Julian, come up. Yield, this is yield. Pretend I'm Jesus. I'm not, but pretend I'm Jesus. Yielding, this is, Julian is a living sacrifice. And I live in Julian. Jesus lives in Julian. So when Julian says, God, I'm a living sacrifice, I present myself as a body, because God needs your body to reveal his will, to extend his will. Did you know that? God's will was revealed through Jesus, and now he put Holy Spirit, Jesus, in us to reveal Jesus more, even more, to give him even more glory. Does it make sense? So when Julian's like, I'm a living sacrifice, I yield to you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will whisper, Julian, go to that person. Julian, go spend time with me. And he'll be like, here's a little nudge, and you're like, okay, I give in. And he starts moving you. That's literally what it is. He's a dancer. You can sit down. Does that make sense though? Like, he wants us to give ourselves fully to him, to give ourselves to his word, to give ourselves into worship, to give ourselves into serving others. When he whispers like, hey, I want to spend time with you. Guess what? That's not just you thinking of that. Like, he puts thoughts in your mind so you can go do and spend time with him. Amen? Like, God is closer than we think sometimes. A lot of the times, actually. Let's pray. Let's get up and we're going to pray. I know it's hopefully a simple word, but I really want us right now to take some time and ask Holy Spirit in where, like, not even ask, but present ourselves as a living sacrifice before God. As providing, God, these are the areas of my body is used for your glory. I'm going to give my body to be used for your glory, to be used for the will of God. So Lord, we just come before you, God, and we want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our spiritual worship, God. We don't want to give you the last parts. We don't want to give you the leftovers, God. But we want to first give ourselves to you and fully to you, God. We want everything to be about you, Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that you would give hunger, that you would give passion, that your fire would fall upon our sacrifice, God. That your fire will fall upon our sacrifice, God. That it would just burn up everything that is not of you, God. And just, Lord, exalt everything that is of you, God. That it would be a pleasing aroma, God. That our sanctification, Lord, would happen, Lord. That your will would be revealed through us, God. That your will would be the evidence of our transformation by the renewal of the mind, God. I ask that, Lord, when we get contaminated, God, that we would be able to focus on your word. That we would be able to dwell on your word, God. We love you, Jesus, and we ask that you would do a work in us, Lord, that we ourselves cannot do, God. I ask that we would be able to do our part by meditating on your word, God, by being renewed in the mind, God, that we would do it daily, that we would do it constantly, Lord, that we would always be in communion with you, God, that we would always be aware with you, God, that we would yield our bodies to you, Lord, whether it be to lay hands on people, whether it be to preach the gospel, whether it be to be a servant of all, Lord, that we would always be able to yield our bodies and present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that we would have this lifestyle of worship, God. Lord, that this would be our love offering to you, God. Because Jesus, you sacrificed yourself, you sacrificed your body for us. Lord, let us be like you. Let us be holy like you and sacrifice ourselves, Lord, to you. So we thank you, God. We thank you that you chose us, Lord, to be vessels of your glory, to be vessels of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we ask that we would be able to be honorable vessels used for you, God. Used for you, Lord. That your will would be done through our lives, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.